Well, hey, everybody. Welcome today. So good to see you guys. I'd like to welcome all of you who are joining us online, all of you who are joining us at all four of our campuses, South San Jose. Glad you're with us. Sunnyvale, Fremont, last but certainly not least, North San Jose. Almost forgot North San Jose. It's like your kids, you know? The more of them you have,
just call them the wrong names.
Mix it up. But we're so excited to be with you. This is one of my favorite days of the year. I'm number one because I get to be on a stage with you.
Yeah.
That's really, really fun.
Yeah, that's sweet.
And number two, because it's our Vision Sunday, and we share many things that God has done last year, and we look forward to what we believe God has in store for us in the coming year. And if you were with us at our Dream Team party, one of the things that we talked about in our culture as a church, one of the things that happens is we just move on. God does great things, and we then immediately turn the page to what is next. And I think in many ways, that's one of the ingredients that has most contributed to the fruitfulness that we've experienced as a church. But sometimes it creates a culture for us where we can miss the good things that God is doing in our lives. God's goodness to you is not a generic goodness. It's a specific goodness. And God has been good this year. He's been good to us individually. He's been good to us collectively as a church. So we're entering into a season that we do at the end of every year. It's a season of gratitude and a season of generosity where we look back over the last year and we look forward to the future of what God is calling us to. And our goal today is to invite you into this great work that God has called us to accomplish in 2020 together.
Yeah, I'm really excited about what we're going to share with you guys. I was telling Andy after the last service that I have this image in my mind of our hearts being one size, kind of like the Grinch at Christmas time. And then we're going to share with you so many amazing things today that your heart's just going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the time you walk out of here, you're going to feel like your heart is going to burst with excitement because there are just so much amazing things on the horizon. And so I'm really excited to get to share these with you today.
Yeah, so on your chairs at all of our campuses, there's some pamphlets there that outline some of the projects that we're receiving the annual impact offering towards. So between now and the end of the year, the annual impact offering will happen above and beyond our regular generosity. And as we walk through these, you're going to see there's like lots and lots of content. I want to encourage you to go back later to read through what you received because we're not going to be able to actually dive into all that is there. But when we start, we want to look at this big 555 vision that God put in our hearts last year. And what we said at our 10-year anniversary in February of this year, that we believe God was leading us to start 5 new campuses, 5 church plants over the next 5 years. The first door that God opened for us was to start our Fremont campus. So in February and March of this year, we launched the Fremont campus. God's been doing amazing things there. They've been averaging just under 250 people in worship. They've seen 35 people make first-time decisions to follow Jesus, and there are so many lives that God is changing at that campus already. One really cool story, Stacy's going to share that with us.
Yeah, there's this amazing story coming out of the Fremont campus, and her name is Gina Lorton. And as we were starting this campus, our prayer, and specifically the prayer of Pastor Lucille, was that children would wake up in the morning begging their parents to go to church because they wanted to be there so badly. They just loved it. And this kind of happened with Gina's story. So Gina was invited to come to the Echo Fremont campus by a coworker. And they didn't go right away, but one day her daughter out of the blue just said to her, "Hey, Mom, why don't we go to church?" And she was like, I don't know. And they were kind of going through a bit of a hard time. And so Gina said, "We should go." And so she and her kids came to the Fremont campus, had a great experience. The Dream Team was so welcoming. They loved Echo Kids. It happened to be during the At the Movie series. And so it was just a ton of fun. And the kids loved it. So they decided, Gina went to Activate, immediately got involved in serving with Echo Kids. She and her kids would serve together. And she started going to Alpha, and through her journey at Alpha, came to become a follower of Jesus, and just a couple weeks ago, got baptized at the Fremont campus. So just an amazing story of what's going on at Fremont.
Yeah, and it seemed like a few people wanted to clap for that. They were clapping over at Fremont. You can go ahead and clap Put your hands together. Let's thank God for what he's doing. I want to say to the Fremont campus, man, we're so excited about what God is doing in you and through you. We love you. We believe in you. Lucille, we're grateful for your leadership as the campus pastor there. God is just beginning something very powerful there that's going to have a massive impact for years to come on Fremont. And we're going to talk more about the doors that God is opening for your campus as we continue our time together. That's just one of the amazing things that God is doing. Secondly, we've had the privilege of partnering together with two brand new church plants this year. One of the first of those two plants is a church plant in Oakland in the Jack London Square area. It's called Storyline Church. They launched on September 15th. That is the day that Stacy and I became parents of a teenager, so we can always remember that. And that campus had a phenomenal first day. They launched with 262 people in their first service, which is incredible. And they're making an impact in an area that desperately needs a new church. It's this, if you've been to Jack London Square, it's this thriving, growing area in Oakland. And there are all these young families, young entrepreneurs, tech employees, and it's just an incredible opportunity for our church to invest in them and see their church grow. So we're participating in reaching that community. The second church plant that we've had the privilege of helping this year is another church called Refuge Church, and this is in San Mateo. Refuge Church launched also in September. They had 93 people in attendance. They've already seen 11 people make first-time decisions to follow Jesus. And we're so pumped about what God is doing there. These two church plants represent a bigger vision for us as a church of having a thriving church or campus within 10 to 15 minutes of every single person in the Bay Area. We've said many times as a church, part of the reason why God called Stacy and I and several other families to the Bay Area is because of how unreached it is. It is the most unreached area in all of the United States in terms of people following Jesus, going to church. You may or may not know that. If you go to the Southeast, the Bible Belt, you drive and you see dozens of churches. Here you could drive for days and not see a church. And we said that's not okay. If there is a thriving church that people know about just down the road from them, when God is stirring in their heart, there's traction that begins to stir and lives are changed more rapidly. So our prayer, God, we know God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything that we can think, ask, or imagine. And we're seeing that happen. We're seeing new churches birth. And we've had the privilege of participating now with 18 churches since we began as a church. You can see the list there, all spread across North America. But even in the Bay Area, the majority of those new churches are right here in the Bay Area. I hope when you see this, you know that you are helping something significant get started that is becoming a movement. That now, instead of being known as an area that is resistant to the message of Jesus, the Bay Area is becoming known as an area where a movement of Jesus' good news is going all over the world. And you're helping make that happen. So in October, we had a big conference here. It's called the Exponential Conference. There were close to 500 church leaders here. Your resources, your prayers, your serving, your participating in ministry is impacting hundreds of churches that are transforming tens of thousands of lives, and this is just the beginning. It's important for us to recognize this is not normal, church. Like, sometimes we just get used to God doing great things and we just move on, like I said earlier. But we want to stop and celebrate that the vision is moving forward, churches are being started, campuses are being started, and lives are being transformed. So if you're grateful, let's put our hands together one more time for God. Celebrate his goodness. And the next project that we celebrate is...
Yeah, so good. Okay, so if you have been around Echo for any length of time, you have heard about Foster the Bay. And Foster the Bay is an initiative that is so near and dear to the heart of Echo Church. It's led by Pastor Philip and his wife Jessica Pattison, and they're just doing a phenomenal job. The heartbeat behind Foster the Bay is that we would reverse the trend. So there has been a long waiting list of children needing homes in the foster care system. And our goal is that instead of children waiting on loving homes, there would be loving, stable Christian homes waiting to receive these children. And so we want to show you a quick video that highlights some of what Foster the Bay has been doing this past year.
It was kind of one of those things where God really intervened in my heart, and I could not stop thinking about this call to foster.
My first response was, I don't think I can do that. I think that would be way too hard. I think I would fall in love with these kids too much, and I wouldn't be able to let go. But Kelsey kept pushing, and she kept saying, I feel like this is what God is calling us to do. I feel like we have the ability to care for these children that don't have anyone. And so we did.
I believe that if every church could raise up a foster family, we could definitely solve the crisis that we see in the current foster care system.
All of our support friends were strangers when we first met them. I know we kind of live in an age where people are both busy and non-committed, and that is not what our support friends are. They have always been there.
Kids go from foster care into life situations that kind of impact them for the rest of their life.
And so we went into foster care with the idea that reunification was the goal. God has a heart for reunification and for reconciliation, and that is should be our heart as well.
It's great to see this network of churches and foster families kind of coming together to give children not only homes but Christian homes.
Foster the Bay allows foster parents to keep going when it's hard, and it is hard.
There's a C.S. Lewis quote that says, God whispers in our joy and shouts in our suffering. And I really think that the brokenness of the foster care system is God shouting at us to respond and to act.
You're a picture of the gospel. You're showing them what Jesus has done for us. Christ came and he gave himself up for you so that you would be adopted into the family of Jesus, and you are no longer a stranger. You were once far off, and now you're a son or a daughter.
We're really thankful for our church community.
I'm just very thankful for the church for providing this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for all the churches that support Foster the Bay.
Thank you so much for what you've given.
So I want to highlight just a couple of statistics to show you the growth that Foster the Bay has had this past year. So we have seen 175 children welcomed into Foster the Bay homes since it started. We've had over 92 people step up to be advocates for Foster the Bay and to get the word out there. And then this is an amazing number, 375 support friends that are coming around these foster families. So maybe you can't welcome a child into your home. You're not in a situation right now where that's possible, but you could provide support to a family who is. And that's what these families are doing. Now, this past week, we hit two major milestones for Foster the Bay, which is really exciting. You know, this is a coalition of churches in the Bay Area. It's not just Echo Church that's doing this. And this week, we had 100 churches total come together that we are going to be advocating for Foster the Bay, working with the foster care system. So 100 churches are now a part of the Foster the Bay coalition. And then, in addition to that, we have this week 100 fully approved foster families that are ready to receive kids. So it's so cool, such a great milestone.
And we're so grateful for the team. There are a lot of you who are part of the church that are already opening your home, many of you who are part of the leadership team of Foster the Bay, and we just want to thank you. Yeah. Thank you for being willing to step into this vision. It is absolutely crucial to what God is leading us towards as a church, because you know, so often the church is known by what it's against, not what it's for. But when we come alongside families that are hurting, that are struggling, children without families, there's so much power in this, and it really does connect back to the early church. One of the things that helped the early church reach a whole region was in the first, second, third, fourth century. There were times where children were being thrown out into the trash in communities. And followers of Jesus would go get those children. They would love them. They would serve them. And that was the birth of taking care of orphans. There was so much that people saw the love of the church, and we're representing Jesus when we do this, and it's making a massive difference. So we celebrate that. In addition to that, now what we want to do is move towards what's next year. All these projects that we've outlined, we'll continue to partner together with these projects, but now we want to focus on some of the doors that God is opening for 2020. So if you've been around for a little while, you have heard a little bit about The door that God has opened for us in Fremont. But I want to share kind of context what happened. So about a year ago, there was a small group of people at a church called Mission Springs, and they basically said, hey, we want to partner with Echo to become a campus of Echo Church. There's about 45 to 50 of them there. And over a period of about 2 months, they prayed, they processed together, and they decided that they would open up their doors. They would give their building to us as a church. That's where the current Fremont location meets. Well, just down the road from there, there's another church that we had a relationship with. It's called Crossroads Church. And Crossroads was instrumental in the start of Echo Church 10 years ago. They sent over leaders. They sent over volunteers. They sent over money to help us get off the ground. They're almost like a parent church to us. And when the door began to open for this Fremont campus, the thought occurred to me as I was praying, I wonder if God is opening this door for our two churches to become one church. But it seemed like a really bold ask. Like, you don't go to your parents and say, hey, do you want to become, like, you know, a part of this and become a campus of Echo? So I drove over to meet with Pastor Paul, was super nervous in the process. But that conversation started this journey together. And just 2 weeks ago, their church voted. The first time I've ever heard this happen, they voted unanimously that they wanted to become Echo Church, our Fremont campus. So next year, you can celebrate that. So next year, what we'll do is we will move the Fremont campus to Crossroads. That will become the Echo Crossroads campus. It will launch probably like Q2, Q3 of next year. We're so thrilled. We love and believe in the team at Crossroads. We love and believe in the team at Fremont. So we'll take the 250 people from our Fremont campus, the 750 people there. It's positioned right at the heart of Fremont. And many of you who come to the North San Jose campus, we know this. You drive right past the Fremont location straight
we see
to.
You.
We have facial recognition cameras.
We know.
We know. And what we're believing is that as the people who live in East Bay now join that campus, there's just limitless possibility to reach that community. We believe over the next decade, God's going to do great things. It's going to move up the East Bay, and so many lives are going to be changed through what happens with the launch of this brand new location. We're pumped about it.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yes.
All right, so next thing. Many of you know that this past year, I have been deeply invested in Echo students and our next gen ministry here at Echo Church. And it has been so much fun. It's been so fulfilling. And I have really loved getting to know the students and the amazing leaders that are invested in our next generation. And so what I want to do is show you a story. One of the coolest stories that's come out of this last year is a story of these three guys that God just radically changed their life. And so you guys are going to get to watch that right now.
My journey at Echo Church started when my girlfriend brought me into Echo Students, and that's when I realized this is different than being in a Catholic church. Everyone's so welcoming. I met a lot of new people. A lot of my closest friends I met from Echo Students.
My friend Jundi, he invited me to Students because he didn't want to go alone. I know he was invited by his girlfriend, so I decided to go one day. Right there, I just got connected with other people. It was a community over there. I really felt like I was welcomed, and I really was I belonged there.
I found out about Echo through actually my friends, Eugene and Jundi. They were talking to me about Jesus and God. I was actually interested, and they told me to come to one of the students' days on Wednesday night, and I actually I'll try it out one day, and actually went there and I enjoyed it a lot actually.
So my experience at camp really brought me back to my faith because I was around the people I was comfortable with. I didn't care what they thought. I just knew that they shared the same love for Jesus that I did, so I really felt like I belonged there.
After going to Echo Students, I felt that love again for once, and like that spiritual high was with me throughout the whole night. And it just continued, it never went away after that. He also put the correct people in my life to become better as a person and like show me my purpose in life.
I would tell someone that's interested in following Jesus that it's not a mistake. This is your plan by God, and just chill and follow the ride.
I love those guys so much. And you know, they're like really involved at the Fremont campus. They help out with students there. And this thing came full circle for us a couple weeks ago. We went on a retreat, and two of those guys, June D and Eugene, came on the retreat as leaders this time. And they just came to faith like less than a year ago, but now they're leading in Echo students. And we had this time of prayer ministry, and I'm watching them go around the room and pray for all these middle school guys. And it was just... it was really touching. So it's really cool to see God change lives like that. And you guys, it makes total sense that we have to be for the next generation. That all this talk about reaching the Bay Area is not going to happen if we don't reach the next generation that will carry on the work. Gen Z is a generation that is more disconnected from the church than any previous generation in American history, and that's not okay. And as a church, we're saying that we are going to go after Gen Z, and we are going to love them to Jesus. One of the major ways that this can happen is through camps and retreats. I'm sure many of you have been to some type of Christian camp or retreat that was really life-changing for you. There's something powerful about getting away from everyday normal surroundings and then experiencing what it's like to be immersed in this culture of love and Jesus, learning about him and growing in a relationship with him. But a camp is very prohibitive with cost. It's very expensive. Here in the Bay Area to go on this type of retreat. And so part of our annual impact offering is going to subsidize camps and retreats for students so that more students can come and experience a life-changing weekend like this.
It's awesome. And, you know, when we started diving into this earlier this year, I think I shared some of this on a Sunday before, but I got this pamphlet, and some of us, God speaks through stories, some God speaks through numbers. I'm like a geek about numbers, and I was just blown away. Some of the stats that Stacy shared, one of them is that 1 million people in the next generation will leave the church over every year for the next decade. It's believed that close to 1 million people will leave the church and who are a part of my children's generation. And what we started to do is say, what other churches are just like nailing it with student ministry? I called one of my mentors who works with hundreds of churches, and she said she could not name one church that we could go to learn from. Not that there aren't churches trying, but back when we started working in student ministry like 20 years ago, there were so many churches that were putting such a great emphasis on students. But for whatever reason, over the last 20 years, that shifted. So we believe that our greater emphasis as a church on students in Gen Z will raise the tide for other churches to say, we're not going to accept the fact that the next generation is not being reached. We're going to do whatever it takes. I was at this Wednesday with our students at the North San Jose campus with our phenomenal leadership team there, and I was looking around the group that God has assembled. This is true at North San Jose, South San Jose, Sunnyvale, Fremont. We have some of the best leaders in our church now serving with next generation. Yeah. This week, even as there's a lot of things happening in South San Jose at the Oak Grove School District, at Oak Grove High School, we have a team there that's investing in students, and we're so incredibly grateful for you. Yeah. Those of you who pour out your life into students and kids, what you do is one of the most essential roles to the fruitfulness of our church, and we want to take 12 seconds right now to put our hands together. If you're grateful for those who invest in the next generation, we're grateful for you, for all that you pour out.
100%. And can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I was just thinking this past week about the way that Echo Students is designed, and Echo Kids as well, that we have amazing leaders that are pouring into these students' lives individually. So we have sixth grade guy leaders, and every week when the sixth grade guys get there, they know who their leaders are, and we have eighth grade girl leaders. And I just don't know why every parent in the room is not doing everything they can, forcing their kids, bribing their kids, doing whatever they have to do to get them to Echo Students, because you have this opportunity to have a mentor in your student's life that is pulling them in the same direction that you want them to go in. These students are having so much fun on Wednesdays. We just hired an amazing student pastor, Stephen Zier, and he is like leading the charge, and there's going to be so much growth in this coming year, and I can't wait to see what God does as he opens up the campuses to us and students beyond the walls of Echo Church. I think we're going to see some amazing things. I'm a little fired up about students.
Yes, you are. It's awesome. All of these projects, it feels like we could spend so much time diving deeper into them. One of the projects that we're going to talk about next, if you're an entrepreneur and you like starting new businesses, you'll get really excited about some of the things that we do with our buildings as a church. So about 7 years ago, when we moved into the North San Jose campus, a lot of people had said to us as a church when we started, you'll never get into a building in the Bay Area. Real estate is so expensive. But one of the core values that we've lived on from the beginning is this value of bold faith. And we say that we don't see obstacles, we see obstacles as opportunities for God to do great things. What that means is the very thing that's supposed to stop us is the very thing that God uses to advance his kingdom. Actually, we have a shirt with our new echo.church/store that has that on it. If you want to get it, if you want to just remind yourself all throughout the holidays of how you see your obstacles in life. But we started saying, what if the thing that stands against us, God could leverage, and actually real estate could become an advantage for our church? So when we got into our first building, we kind of accidentally, through just prayer and a great, some of our great staff members that work on our facilities, we kind of fell into this model where we started using our buildings during the week for local businesses from an entrepreneurial standpoint. So businesses rent out the buildings. There's a preschool at North. There's stuff that happens at Sunnyvale. Fremont is also the same thing. One day South will be in a campus. We'll do the same thing there. And we started leveraging our buildings for profit so that the church can basically, when you give through your tithes and your offerings, your generosity goes further because now your money is more going towards ministry, not just running buildings. So one project that we're very excited about is in Sunnyvale, right in the midst of Google and Apple and all these tech companies. That's where the Sunnyvale campus is. So we've been exploring this idea of leveraging the Sunnyvale building during the week for a co-working space. So we're going to take some of the resources that come through the annual impact offering to make changes in the lobby of that building so that during the week, if you live in that or work in that community, you can bring your friends or a co-worker, you can come hang out, do meetings at the building. And we think that that's going to give us not just revenue, but it's going to bring people into the building during the week so that we can basically reach people in the tech sector at a higher level through what happens there. And that gets me really excited to think about the power of that, what could happen there. And that also ties into, in addition, one of the other projects that we're working on is our church planting. So we're starting more churches. We dream of a day where we can help all these churches get into buildings, but we have to get them started first. And Stacy's going to tell us of the first of these two.
So the first one is Toccoa Church. And many of you are familiar with Austin and Allie Anderson. They are an amazing couple. Austin served on staff here as the director of First Impressions for several years. And just an amazing couple. And God put on their hearts that he wanted them to start a church. And so this coming year, they're going to be starting a new church just west of San Jose. And we are going to get to come around them and support them and help them get that church off the ground. We're really excited about that.
Yeah, and the second one there is a church that is going to be started in Berkeley. You're going to hear a little bit more about this at the end of the service, but this is called City Center Church. And Ray and Rachel Hudson are going to be starting this church in 2020. I had the privilege of spending some time with them last week, with him in particular, and just hearing their vision. And so we're excited about two brand new churches. So the two that have already started, two more. We're like getting pretty close to the one part of the 555 being accomplished in year two of the 5 years. But this is just God's grace to us as a church, and we're privileged to be a part. That next, we want to shift our focus. I know I'm flying through, and you're like, yeah, tell me more. But read the book. There's more in the booklet that you have in front of you. But I'd like to welcome our resident Brazilian to the stage, Pastor Felipe Santos. He's going to talk a little bit about Brazil. And he's actually going to speak in Portuguese. I'm going to translate.
Você vai traduzir para mim hoje?
I really like my wife. I think she's amazing. And you look great today.
I'll speak English. It'll be easier. He's a bad translator. Last service, I was told I was flapping the bird too much, so I'm going to put it right here. I'll explain in just a second what that is. Really cool stuff happening in Brazil right now. A few years ago, we gave through an offering similar to this to a church plant in the northern part of Brazil in a very underprivileged area. That church they're growing, they're multiplying. We were able to give $80,000 to build them a facility that's now not only housing this church community, but they also started a Compassion International project that takes 750 kids off the streets and provides education, healthcare, spiritual nourishment to them. Amazing stuff. That church is multiplying now, and we're going to give money to build another building for one of their church plants that's also going to have a Compassion International project in it to take more kids off the street. So really awesome stuff. But one of my favorite things happening in this community, and you can see some of these pics here, is that we notice that the women there don't have as many opportunities as the men. And so it's a male-dominant culture around this region, but these women have great gifts of leadership, and they're very entrepreneurial, and they're very artsy, and they know how to create things. So we started to notice the stuff that they were creating, stuff like this out of magazines. So it's like a phenomenal table decorative item. They make tablecloths and necklaces and all kinds of cool stuff. So we said, hey, how about we help you start a business? And so there's about 100 women that got together, and they started creating stuff like this that's now going to be sold through our web portal here in America. And they're now becoming breadwinners in their home and helping create opportunities for their families to come out of poverty because of our partnership with them. Isn't that amazing? Yes. So there's a lot more in the booklet about the Orange curriculum we're translating for the whole country, but read about it. There's so much stuff going on that's powerful, and I hope you guys partner with us to continue to impact the whole country.
It's awesome, man. Would you like to take your bird with
you?
Yeah,
I'll take the bird.
Yes. It gets me very excited to think about, for all of us who participate. One of the reasons we moved to the Bay Area initially is, like, if you look around the room at all of our campuses, there are people from all over the world. Right. So if you even look at, people say stuff like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? But not true with the Bay Area. What happens here literally echoes all over the world. So we have nations and cultures, places where people will go to be missionaries globally, where it's illegal to be followers of Jesus, but they're moving to the Bay, and we have a phenomenal opportunity to take what God is doing here and send it all over the world. Even when you think about your life, one of the most important decisions that you can make is to say, I'm not just going to think about the message of Jesus locally in my community, I'm going to think about the world as a whole. Jesus said that when the gospel, the good news about Jesus, gets to every nation, tribe, and tongue, that's when the end is going to come. So we have a responsibility with the resources that God has given to us to be about the nations. This one story represents close to a dozen other countries that we're already invested in. Some we can't even say the name of them here because it's illegal to be a follower of Jesus, and it would put the people there at risk if we said the name of their country. I want you to see pictures of some of the countries that next year we're going to be mobilizing people to go to these countries. And one ask or one challenge for you is that you would take the step to go overseas on mission. And one of our dreams is that we would tithe our church in international missions on an annual basis, that we would mobilize close to 300 people to go on a mission trip. And there's great power in your transformation when you go overseas.
Absolutely. I think that for both of us, that international mission trips was very transformative when we were especially going through college and young adulthood. We had the opportunity to go on many trips and just seeing the world through God's eyes and going on these global trips. It opens your eyes to a whole new horizon. It forces you out of your comfort zone and forces you to live on faith and to real dependency on God. It gives you so much compassion for the world, a heart for the nations that echoes the heartbeat of Christ. And so I think that if there's any way that you could take a week off of work or to make the to make it work for you, I really want to encourage you to consider going on one of these trips. I think it will be truly transformative for you, and you will not regret it.
Yeah, so just go to echo.church/missions. You can see all the details there. Also, inside that booklet, there's just this one pager that highlights some of the trips. Now, as we wrap up our time together, I want to call you to action. I want to call you to respond to what God has been stirring in our hearts today. I had the privilege this week to sit down with an entrepreneur here locally, somebody who is involved in business, and I was just hearing some of their story of generosity. And I was hearing a little bit about where God's brought them, this journey of generosity, and now they're at a place where they're able to give significant resources to God's kingdom, and it's a huge part of their journey of faith. And I was asking them, because I just am very curious about people who really have tipped the scales in terms of everything God has given me belongs back to God. It's not mine. And one of the things that they said was when they first became followers of Jesus, they had a pastor that encouraged them to trust God with their generosity, and he didn't hold back. And so often as a pastor, I feel this internal tension, because when I ask you to give, the last thing I want you to think is that it's all about what I want from you. And really what it is it's all about what we want for you. That there's something that happens in our society with greed, that the enemy has a stronghold on so many of our lives, and we live in fear with money. We live in fear of stock market. We live in fear of real estate market. But the God of the universe holds it all, and he's able to provide for you at any given moment. And what he asked you to do is to trust him with your resources, with the resources that actually came from him in the first place. It's like when I take my kids out trick-or-treating and I ask for some candy and they tell me no. It's like, hey, I took you out. You know, I'm the one providing all this stuff for you. And I can make sure next year you don't get to go out trick-or-treating and, you know, dress like Donald Duck again, okay? And God puts in everything you have came from God. Every dollar, every resource in your hand, and he invites you into this incredible, joyful journey of trusting him with the resources that are in your hand. And some of the greatest joy that we have as a family is when we look back and we trusted God to watch what God did. I remember 4 years ago when the door opened for us to get into the Sunnyvale building. We had been saving up for a house at that point. We felt like the Holy Spirit was stirring us to give everything that we had saved up until that point for a down payment on the house to the Sunnyvale building, because it was more important to get them into a building. And every time we walk through that building now, and I think of the hundreds of people who have come to faith in Jesus through that building, it's worth it. And in the end, when you look back on your life, none of it goes with you. I don't know if you know that. Like, you die and none of it goes with you. But when you invest in the kingdom of God, when you invest in the local church, you are investing in something that is eternal. So I want to invite you. I want to call you to respond. Go back with your family, or if you're single, you can do it alone or in your Echo group. But pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be involved? December 8th, we'll have a commitment day. All throughout December, we'll receive the offering. Truth be told, many people do it in January because that's when they get their bonus. We're not going to say, no, you can't give now. But this is an offering. It's not a tithe. It's an offering above and beyond your regular generosity. And I believe that the greatest year of fruitfulness in our church is going to be next year. And there is something that happens in a local body, a local group of people that trust God with their generosity. The Spirit of God moves powerfully when we trust him in that way. And we're going to enter into another season of gratitude and generosity like we have before together. We're going to believe God that he's going to multiply. And it's not about how much money you make, y'all. Some of you are looking, you live paycheck to paycheck. We have other people who do, they're making hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars every single year. And none of it surprises God. It's not like, oh gosh, that guy's wealthy. I like that guy more than her or more than him. No, it's all before God. What he wants is your heart. What he wants is your obedience. What he wants is you to trust him and obey him. And that's what we're asking you. Trust and obey and believe. Let's believe together that God will use all of our sacrifices, all of our gifts to do more through us together than any of us could do on our own. Let's pray together.
Father, it's with a lot of joy that we come to you today in anticipation of what you want to do in 2020. We look back on 2019 at your faithfulness and all the work that you did, and it just serves to grow our faith. And we say thank you. Thank you for using this church to bring your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so, God, I want to pray for Echo Church today, that there would be a spirit of faith among us, that we would be Joshua and Calebs as we look to the obstacles ahead, to the opportunities ahead, that we would say we believe by faith that you want to bring your work here. You want to bring your truth and your light and your love to the Bay Area, and you want to use Echo to touch the world. And so, God, I pray that there would be a spirit of generosity, that we would break free from fear, that we would break free from the bondage of greed, that we would stop holding our possessions with clenched fist, but that we would open our hands and say, it all belongs to you, Jesus. Whatever you ask, the answer is yes. I trust you. You are my provider, and you will always be faithful. And so, God, I pray for peace and unity for our church as we go forward, that there would be a great sense of anticipation and joy, that you can use our 5 fish and 2 loaves to bless the world if we will just offer it to you. We offer it now in Jesus' name. Amen.